Hello and good morning, recruits, GM, and welcome back to the M00M Resistance. I'm your founder and host, Geographic, and in a time when trust is low, but vibes are high, it's always important to watch your six. You are now listening to M00M Theater on the Air, Episode 12, Chapter 12, The Ambush. Episode 12, Chapter 12, The Ambush. The heavily armored quant truck continued across its magnetic route, hovering above the cracked terrain of the post-American highway system, carrying Gold Star and team. Debris flew out of its way thanks to the multi-tone metal plating and kinetic repulsors humming on the front, bottom, and sides of the vehicle. Kevin, Gold Star's former street artist neighbor and companion from day one, was in the middle of telling jokes to the team. Gold Star sat at the front, feet up on the dashboard, studying a digital map on her trusted retro phone. The most recent addition to their container, Luna, was cocooned in a chair, completely encased by Moom's mycelium webbing. Kevin was doing a questionable job of lightening the mood as his jokes were getting increasingly bad.
You know what's wrong with that restaurant on the moon? Great food, but no atmosphere. Okay. What's blue and not very heavy? Light blue.
The room rattled as Moom, the alien goo-infested shipping container, laughed at the terrible humor.
R.I.P. boiling water. You will be missed. Well, how about... What do you call a factory that makes okay products? A satisfactory!
Can you stop for 1 second, Kev? I think I hear something.
Gold Star interrupted. Kevin halted his comedy store audition, much to everyone's relief.
I think it's coming from Luna.
Should we get some more webs on her, Moon?
We are not putting more webs on her. We're not going to web up young women and drive off with them in the back of our quant truck like weirdos. I don't know why you thought this was a good idea.
I was only doing what you signaled.
Kevin stopped in the middle of his protest because he heard what Gold Star was talking about. Coming from the cocoon was the sound of Luna, humming a sad, soulful tune.
Okay, I'm going to free her, and if she kills us, well, at least I don't have to hear any more of your cringe dad jokes.
Girl, my jokes be bussin', and I wasn't telling them for you. Slimer vibes with all my out-of-this-world humor. This a bros-before-hoes scenario.
Gold Star ignored Kevin and started cutting the mycelium goo away from the young woman.
I'm sorry, Luna.
Gold Star apologized as soon as she removed the netting from her face.
The goo is actually super soft, absorbent, and nearly soundproof.
The cute post-Asian American woman replied with a good-natured grin.
I've had worse, and from the jokes I heard Kevin telling, I think I was getting the better end of the deal.
Hold up, gang. What the fuck is that ahead of us?
Kev broke in. Gold Star's eyes flicked up immediately.
Moom, magnify and enhance the path ahead.
The artificial view screen on the interior front of the container room magnified and changed resolution. The little dot in the distance became identifiable. Less than a mile away, a woman stood alone on top of a large red shipping container directly across the magnetic path. To her left, there were more containers piled up on each side, creating a choke point.
Well, I don't want to state the obvious, but this feels like a trap.
Obviously. This weird trick looks a bit early for Halloween and a bit late for the 18th century. What a treat.
What's she up to? Could she be fate?
The cyberpunk blonde leaned against the side of the view screen and studied the woman.
I don't know all the fate dress codes, but I do know the minute we started to free your sus-ass friend, it seems like they all started popping out the woodwork.
Permission to wrap her in slime or just eliminate the target? I've acquired a new taste for evil humans.
I knew it. I knew he couldn't contain his true nature. How long till we turn bad, 200? How long?
You're turning right now, bruh. Did someone say Kevin Asada?
Ugh, this adventure is bringing out all the craziness. Who wears full black pleather and white lace in this desert heat?
The woman in question stood at ease, wearing a form-fitting but fashionable outfit, arms akimbo and hip to one side. She wore thigh-high black boots, a black jacket, a wide-brimmed hat, and a white frilled corset, like a sexy pirate.
I do like her fit, though. Even through this pixelated-ass zoom, I could tell she got that pirate booty.
Okay, Captain Hook.
That's cool. but I prefer the title Captain Hooker.
Gross. We're not stopping. It's on her to move.
The woman in the magnified viewer smiled as if she had somehow heard the team's discussion. She opened her arms wide like she was going to give everyone a big hug, and then, like the owner of rabid pit bulls, she clapped her hands together in a sick 'em boys gesture.
Incoming!
Moom warned. His voice was more alarmed than it had ever been. The base of the accelerating quant truck was hit by a pair of missiles that streaked into the front of it with the devastating effect of an unstoppable force meeting an immovable object. The forward momentum of the quant truck instantly stopped, and the containers being transported behind them crunched and careened upwards over the back of the quant truck in an ungainly somersault, like a suburban mid-40s dad trying to learn karate in the midst of his midlife crisis. Inside, Moon, Goldstar, Kevin, and Luna were thrown around like ragdolls as the metal around them howled and tore like a steel warehouse trapped inside the eye of a tornado. Everything that wasn't nailed down, including the three passengers, flew around, caught in the centrifugal force of the rolling containers. Moon's gloopy tentacles emerged from the walls of the container as he deployed a sticky blue airbag system and goo belts. This alone stopped the worst of the harm from being done. Moom and team rolled around among the other shipping containers as they slammed into the ground, each rolling and ripping apart like a predictable action scene on the 405 freeway in a Michael Bay blockbuster movie. After what seemed like forever in slow motion, Moom's container body skidded to a halt, ripping off a corner portion of its roof. Before Moom even had time to come to a complete stop, Luna, now almost completely free of her cocoon, had grabbed up a loose rifle with her wrist still bound. Goldstar watched as Luna paused for a second, deciding what to do, and then she leapt out of the container into the incoming fire.
No, Luna, don't!
Goldstar shouted, still disoriented. But the former captive made no reply.
Kev!
Goldstar turned her attention to her friend.
Are you okay?
No response.
Moom!
Moom's eyes on the inside of the container wall moved around groggily, signaling life. In a manner like when a googly eye gets stuck for a brief moment before googlying again.
Don't worry about me. Kev's beaten up badly. He's unconscious, but okay. I know it looks bad, but I'll be fine. I'll get a new container body.
Goldstar grabbed a compact rifle with several clips and scrambled out of the torn roof of the damaged container, firing. She made her way through the debris until she found Luna pinned down by slugs and laser blasts coming from both left and right.
Luna, get over here!
She ordered, raising up and firing rapidly in the direction of enemy fire. Using the moment of cover fire, Luna dove and rolled until she found herself huddled, knees up, side by side with the cyberpunk blonde, her friend.
You can't get rid of me that easily,
Goldstar reprimanded.
I wasn't trying to escape, I promise. I was trying to distract them while you, Kev, and Moom caught your breaths. I'd do a better job if my wrists weren't still tied.
Goldstar raised her eyebrow, still debating whether or not to release Luna. And then, much like a child causing intentional harm to a favorite toy by testing the boundaries of how far they could push it before breaking, she decided it was time.
Don't let me regret this.
She drew a blade from her boot and freed the pretty but clearly dangerous captive comrade. Goldstar and Luna emerged from their cover like Navy SEALs exiting water, storming a beach, spraying bullets in all directions. They regrouped after a few minutes of ferocious gunplay. Despite the cuts and bruises, Luna appeared to be enjoying herself.
This is a pretty heavily armed division of Fate. How'd they catch up with us?
We'll figure that out once we're out of here. Kevin and Moom are hurt. We need to get back.
Luna nodded, realizing the true gravity of the situation.
I think there are 12 shooters in total. On hour 3, 9, and 1 at 12 o'clock. I'm guessing there are 2 more reloading missiles, and that weird pirate cosplay bitch hasn't done anything else yet.
Goldstar leaned out to the left and punctuated her elevation with 4 quick sprays towards the direction Luna called.
We need to circle left and drop back. They have a sniper on your side. Stay low and...
Suddenly, metal screeched and grumbled like a tin can caught in a blender, which itself was caught in a cement mixer. Moom, slightly deformed, rose from the metal carnage behind them. The giant blue mycelial creature disentangled himself from the ruined containers and quant truck. He stood up even taller than he had on previous occasions, stretching and expanding his body to now a full 50 feet high. Moom adjusted himself and went full Kai the Hitchhiker as he smashed his way towards the pirate lady, tentacles emerging from the top of his damaged head in an angry display.
Smash! Smash! Smash!
All gunfire stopped immediately, as everyone correctly reacted in fear to the dominating sight. Kevin stumbled to the door of the container suspended in the air by Moom's gooey body. Blood oozed from a head injury that he had received in the explosion and crash.
Yo, you need to chill, Slimer. I've just had an updated crash course in shipping logistics. They didn't teach me this shit back when I was working the ports.
Go get him, Moom.
Moom strode forward and swatted the remains of the metal aside like a bully smashing a child's sandcastle. As if the angry blue moon wasn't shocking enough, with a rumble, the red container that the pirate lady stood on also began to rise. Two large red ovals on the front of the red container revealed themselves and blinked. Then, two large gooey red legs emerged from the bottom of the container that the pirate stood on, and two massive slimy buff arms. Then, tentacles popped out of the top, revealing a fully formed, incredibly buff, red Moom.
It's another Moom!
Goldstar splattered in awestruck confusion and shock. The two Mooms, one red and one blue, paused, sizing each other up. Their antennas and tentacle tongues pulsed, waved, and flopped at each other for an anxious 30 seconds. And then, all of a sudden, as if triggered by some secret signal, the two Mooms launched towards each other, running full speed. Kevin, still in the doorway of the container, gripped onto the inner handles for dear life. Whatever he had shouted was lost in the thunderous movement of the two kaiju-sized container creatures. The pirate lady was also caught unaware and hung on top of what was now the red Moom's head. Her wide-brimmed hat flew off as her red Moom boomed towards Goldstar's blue and pink Moom. The speed and force of the running Mooms was seismic. The ground shook as the container monsters closed the distance of 20 yards per stride like giant metal linebackers.
Moom! Kevin!
Goldstar shouted, not knowing what to do next. Just before the two Mooms crashed into each other, more antennas emerged from their heads and bodies. The red and blue Mooms skidded to a halt in front of each other, and the tentacle tongues met and interlocked, wrapping around each other. Reminiscent of an overcapacity sauna at the local YMCA in the mid-2000s.
Wait, are they fighting or are they...
Shocking sensual slurping sound effects overwhelmed all present eardrums.
Dear God, I think they're fucking.
The limbs of the two Mooms intertwined as red, white, and blue goo flew around between them, plastering the female pirate and Kevin with gooey, drippy liquid at the pace of a 4th of July finale.
I'm just shook. Like, may shake some vomit right out of me.
I feel like I'm in science class. What happens next?
What all observers and combatants thought was going to be a giant battle to the death between the two containers had now become an uncomfortable, prolonged silence filled with slurps and hums. The only thing seemingly missing was the sleazy 70s Bow Chicka Wow Wow guitar. The limbs, tentacles, and six tongues of the two Mooms explored and caressed each other as their emanating glows intensified with the two unwilling human participants caught in the gloopy mix.
So what do we do now?
Luna asked without taking her eyes off the strange, unmistakably intimate spectacle happening in front of them.
Do we give them privacy or... a cigarette?
As if to answer, multiple notifications on the BBS app began to ping, signaling DMs from someone in the unshipped, unspoken resistance.
I am mighty apologetic,
the text read.
I believe that we've made a terrible mistake. Judging by the container creature in your possession, I'm guessing you must be Goldstar. The name's Everglade Evan, and my boss is currently busy with the container creatures.
Are you responsible for this attack?
Gold snapped back on the BBS.
Perhaps it would be better if we speak face to face. I'm not sure how long this greeting between the containers will last.
Luna read the text over Goldstar's shoulder and then looked at her with impossibly wide eyes.
A greeting?
10 minutes later, the two Mooms successfully disentangled, and Moom strode back over to Goldstar and Luna, who were speaking to a slim gray-bearded man slinging an ancient sniper rifle.
I do hope you take my apologies, Miss Goldstar. Like I said, with a reward on your friend's head and the quant truck, all we wanted to do was put it out of action. Collect the reward from fate and be on our way. If we'd known it was you or the container creature, your moom, as you call it, we'd have met under different circumstances.
Kevin could be seriously hurt. Not only in the ambush, but by the greetings.
Moom, who had shrunk back to what was still a 25 feet high, squatted down to where Goldstar and Evan were talking.
Don't worry, Goldstar. Kevin was completely safe with me. When we were touching parts, Kevin and I were healed by the mycelium exchange between Leg Day and I. The regenerative ooze has probably exhausted Kevin and Evelyn, and they're both fast asleep. In our touchings, Leg Day explained everything to me, and it sounds like an honest mistake by the Vanished Spec Ops team.
Leg Day? Evelyn? Vanish? What are you talking about? And why the hell are they working with fate?
Evan turned patronizingly to Luna.
If you pardon me, little lady, Leg Day is our container creature. One of the 7 known container creatures that have been revealed so far. Your moom, as you call him, was the Los Angeles creature, while my brethren Leg Day came from Brazil. Everglade Evelyn, the lady snoozing away beside your friend Kevin, is the leader of our unshipped crew. And before you ask, yep, we're related.
Everglade Evan used the before time name for what the Fate Technocracy had renamed Region Fate-C.
Are they going to be alright, Moom?
I think they'll be more than alright. The effects on humans of being involved in Moom's touching parts would have been positive and rejuvenating, but maybe an emotionally and physically intense experience. I think he'll wake up feeling like a new person.
Moom replied innocently.
Wow, are you and Leg Day up for round 2? Maybe Gold and I can both come. I could def use some deep rejuvenation with my new bestie.
Luna suggested, not too innocently. Evan cleared his throat, drawing Goldstar's attention to the motley crew gathering behind him.
Me and the good folks here are part of Vanish, an unchipped special operations unit dedicated to getting in and getting out of a situation without being noticed. And we'd hope to do this the easy way, but once you hitch yourself to that armored quant truck, only a missile strike could stop it from rolling all the way to San Antonio. Eats is scarce, and sometimes we have to make deals with the devil. Can't all afford to be Lily White in this struggle.
You're a bit far away from the Everglades, Evan, don't you think?
The old man gave a knowing and rubbed his beard in a sign that he had heard and thought about that many times before.
Welcome to a much bigger world, Miss Goldstar. We hope to have you and your crew join us. These here creatures have changed the game.